Good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for that. You know how tired you are after you go ahead and skin 100 catfish? Well, that's how tired I am. It takes a while to wade through that, and I only done part of it. And old Brother Dylan there helped me with the other part. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians. And let me get this turned on here. And book of Ephesians. I'm surprised they even have it still on. Is it? How's that? Is that it? Good. Ephesians chapter number 4, you find the place. We're going to read one verse. As we look there, I hope it'll be a blessing to you and to your heart, and I hope you'll pay close attention. Verse 4 is what we're going to be reading, 4, 5, 6 maybe. He said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, that he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, and that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. I pray your blessings now upon this service, right every wrong, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free as our hearts desire and prayer unto thee. We'll say thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach an old titled sermon on 7-1 things. You know, there's not a whole lot of things that people ought to do and that I have to do in order to be able to go to heaven. There's just one. Just one thing. A lot of times people say, "Well, you know, I don't know. I've been to church a little bit, but somehow or another, I just don't seem like that I fit in." Well, I want to tell you, whenever you come to Jesus Christ and God's knocking on your heart's door, and when you get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, that Bible says over there in chapter number 2 and about verse number 21, "In whom the building fitly framed together groweth into the temple." And let me tell you that when you get saved, God will fit you into the house of God. I had a man tell me one time, "Well, I want to go to your church." "Well, is this the only church you could go to?" I can tell you, if you want to be able to go to miss hell and go to heaven, then we got the message from the Bible. I had a man tell me one time, "Well, preacher, I want you to know my church can't guarantee you heaven." I said, "My church can't either, but I got a God in heaven who can." There's a lot of Baptists going to die without God and go to hell simply because they felt like they were all right already in the condition they were in. I got to tell you right now, being a member of a denomination not going to carry you anywhere but straight to hell. When you got saved by the grace of God, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Next time somebody tries to tell you, you know, "Well, you ain't got to go to church in order to go to heaven," you got that from the devil. You didn't get that from the Bible. That Bible said that you'll find out is that the gate to heaven is the church of the living God, and you'll find out that the door to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't ever come to the house of God, you're never going to learn who the door is. And you'll be like Judas Iscariot. He kissed the door of heaven, died, and went to hell. After going with the apostles and knew where they prayed and knew about the preaching that was perfect preaching, he died without hope, without God, trying to sell out the Lord for 30 pieces of silver and went to a devil's hell. I was thinking about, you know, somebody told me one time years ago, right after I first got saved, I was witnessing to a lady that was there that worked in the office. Grouchy old woman. Had more wrinkles on her than a road map's got lines on her face. And she's sitting there, you know, and I said, "Hey, let me ask you this. If you died today, would you go to heaven?" "I don't really want to discuss that with anybody. That's a personal matter." Now, I'm a young Christian. I said, "You a person, ain't you?" That's the reason it's a personal question, because I'm addressing a person. I want to ask you that are sitting here this morning, before you decide you may want to break and run before I get on you, I'm glad God got a hold of my heart. It got personal real quick with me. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that there's people in the world that I'm talking about among every rank of denomination that you can think about. And by the way, Jesus did not invent denominations. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want to tell you right now is, in the day and hour, you can ask somebody, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They'll pull their denomination tag out on you. I'm not asking you about your denomination. I'm asking you about your destination and about where you're going to spend eternity if you die in the condition that you're in. You know, we're here this morning, and as we preach the gospel, if you're saved, we're rejoicing, we're glad together in the Lord, by the word of the Lord, because did you notice in the reading there that it was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace that was given to you and I that we might be saved. I say this over and over again, and I've been since all these years that I've been preaching, is that if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now, and you'd be there with me too. I'm not getting what I deserve because of the grace of God that's been bestowed upon me. If you got saved, it's by the grace of God. He saw nothing in you. You'll find that everything that we have and own is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you right now, the Bible said over there in the book of Acts chapter 4 and about verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And he just got through mentioning by name the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only name whereby you can miss hell and make heaven. And by the way, that when you begin to look into it, you'll find out, look in our text that we've read in verse number 4. He said, there is but one body, and there's one spirit. You're called into one hope of your calling. And those seven things, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. In that lesson there, let me tell you right now, is the body belongs to Christ. There's one body, the Bible said. When God saved, the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I know some people up and down the road of life, and they may call themselves some denominational tag, but you ought to be able to identify that with the one body and the one doctrine that God's given that one body. The Bible said there's one spirit. Now, you know, there's another spirit out there that's not the Spirit of God. If it's not the Spirit of God, guess whose spirit that is? That's going to be the spirit of the devil. And he's going to be pulling at you this direction, pulling at you that direction. I'll tell you this, is that the Bible said there is another Jesus that's being preached. He's not the Jesus that died to take away your sin. He's another Jesus that's a fabricator, that's an imitator. And he wants to allow you to do anything and everything you want to do and go anywhere you want to go without having to follow the message of the Lord. I got to say that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, somebody said, well, you know what, I'm just going to do the best I can. You better just trust the Lord. Your good and your best is not going to be good enough. I noticed something else in this lesson that we're looking at is that you're going to find out is that there's only one spirit. And this Bible said that by one spirit we're baptized into one body. You know, it's the Spirit of God that came knocking on our heart that troubled us about our soul's condition when we got saved by the grace of God. And let me tell you right now is there's not two ways to heaven. There's but one. Never has been but one. It's one right now. It'll be one tomorrow if tomorrow ever comes. I got to say to you that you'll find that we've got one body, we've got one spirit, we've got one hope. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, let me tell you right now, the Bible said that the Spirit of God baptized us into the body of Christ. Now, that's not water baptism. That's the Spirit of God putting us into the family of God. I want to say to you that we live in a world in a day and an hour, there's a lot of controversy over water baptism versus the Spirit of God baptizing. Well, let me tell you, there's only one baptism, this Bible said. So if you're going to be able to lean upon water, then there's your one baptism. It'll be water baptism. It'll make you wet, but you'll dry out going to hell with it. See? I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that God gave us the grace of God that we might be washed by the blood, born into the family of God, because that Bible said there is but one God. There's not two, there's one. I got to say to you, there's a bunch of false gods that are mentioned that are in the Bible. And you're going to find out that across this country, and I don't mean this to be ugly, but I do mean it, and it's going to sound ugly. But you're going to find out is that you're either in or out, heaven bound or hell bound, one of the way or the other. There's no middle ground somewhere or another. There's no such thing as a holding place and a holding spot. There's no such place, buddy, when you die without the Lord, you spend eternity without the Lord. There's no provision in the Bible that's been given by God to be able to pray people out of suffering. And there's no such thing as purgatory. That's a doctrine spawned by hell. There's no such thing as that in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you know him. But to be absent from the body is to drop off into hell if you die without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before I got saved, I was a religious young man. And let me tell you right now that when I got saved by the grace of God, God come knocking on my heart's door, I saw myself like he showed me. And let me tell you, it was an ugly sight. And boy, God granted me grace and God granted me repentance. And I got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. You know the difference between a person that's just religious and a person that's been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb? A religious person goes to church every now and again. A righteous person that's been saved has been put into the family of God, and he said he put my feet on the solid rock and established my going. By the grace of God, I've been going with him ever since. In this lesson here that you're looking at, a saved person believes the same doctrine, believes the doctrine of God. I've had a lot of people up and down the road, you know, and they tell me what they believe. Okay, fine, that's good now. Show me that in the Bible. And they couldn't. I remember when your daddy back there used to tell, I remember whenever he was out there working, and he said one guy that was busy, you know, trying to get him to come to his little old church, and he said, I don't like y'all's church. There's too much screaming and hollering. And he opened up the book of Isaiah and said, the Bible said, lift your voice like a trumpet. And he said, let me tell you right now is, I've been saved by the grace of God. God put me in the church. I've been living for God. I've been serving God in the church of the living God. I'm a church man. And don't try to talk me out of going to where God's put me. Now that man was a little bit afraid. He was scared to death. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, I'm not ashamed of the doctrine of Christ. And let me tell you, it's the power of God. The Bible said unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not everybody's going to believe it. But to everyone that believeth, the Bible said it's the power of God unto salvation. When we got saved by the grace of God, God fitly framed us into the work. Now, in the day we live in, there's a lot of denominational tags that are out there. And let me tell you, the world wants something different than the Holy Bible. The world wants something different than the Church of the Living God. The world is looking for some other way and some other means. You ever hear of the biker church? You can't get them to come to church because we're not riding bikes up here. I thought the biker group was going to meet down there at the lakeside the other day, about, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them coming zooming in there and all that. And I'm not against riding a motorcycle if you want to. If you want to ride a motorcycle, knock yourself out. And one of these days at your funeral, I'll say, I remember whenever we told them and warned them about that murder cycle. The biker church. I know some people that used to be in the house of God, that used to work, be faithful seemingly to the house of God, but the biker church pulled them out. You'll find that also there's a call of the cowboy church. I don't know if they got fast horses or not, but you know, there's that bunch. Fact is, old Brother Phil was arguing with a man that went to the cowboy church, and the cowboy church preacher didn't like loud preaching. I got to say to you that if you will, I'm just calling it the way that it was. I noticed the other day when I was riding up and down the road that there was one called the Revival Center. Now, it looked to me like that they ought to call it the Striptease Center. I mean, everybody that was going in there was wearing shorts and showing everything they had. I thought for a minute, you know, I was on a cruise. You'd be surprised how when they've got their top hanging out and their bottom hanging out and this and that and all of that, that profess to be a Christian and somehow or another that are going around like that. I want to say to you that you'll find that there's also that called the Oasis of Love. And down there in Houston, that big thing, you know what I'm talking about? I got to tell you, one message of the Lord and that crowd having to listen, and they'd have plenty of room to roll around and do whatever they wanted to. Anytime you see a church, you know, it's got a building committee and all that, they're not preaching anything. You preach a couple of sermons. Jesus Christ, he had 5,000, and let me, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the perfect preacher. Jesus Christ had never missed a lick. And he preached one sermon. He didn't preach a whole revival meeting. He didn't preach a series of sermons. He preached one. And the Bible said, and they all forsook him and fled him except for 12, and one of them was the devil. We live in a world somehow or another that have just lost the touch of reality because they've gotten so far away from the things of God. They call themselves now the fellowship sinners, and we've got Judaism and Islam and Mohammedism and this and that. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it. There's only one way to be able to miss hell and make heaven, and that's to come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar, be washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I preach that with all authority from the word of the Lord and by the unction of the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it whatsoever, is that there's not two ways to heaven. There is but one. Now, the Bible said there, and he mentioned heavens in this lesson, plural. And of course, you know, there are people that want to try to build a big case about heavens being three heavens. Well, let me just tell you, there are at least three heavens. And let me tell you exactly who they are and what they are so that you'll be able to know that whenever we talk about going to heaven without hope, without God, heaven's a plural thing. And let me tell you what it is. It's an atmospheric heaven. That's what we're breathing right now. And that's where birds are flying and so forth and on. There's the planetary heaven. And that's the heaven to where that all the stars and the planets that are placed up in the sky that you can see at night, that when you stand in awe at such beauty that's been by the divine touch of God. And then you'll find there's a throne room of heaven is where God's throne room is. And I want to tell you something is that you and I, one of these days, are going to stand before God in the throne room of God. And if you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. But if you die in the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in the Lord. There's only one name, and that's what we've been talking about, that you can be saved by, and that is the name that is above every name, and that's the name, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know that the Bible says, is that over there in the book of Acts, it's in about chapter number 19, and it's about verse number 34, whenever Paul the Apostle had gone there to Ephesus, and of course, you know, they had a silversmith there, which made money by making little silver shrines for Diana. And of course, it was an idolatry thing and so forth and on. And Paul the Apostle, they wanted to kill him because he was preaching against their idolatry. And I want to say to you that if you will, please, by the time you get down to verse 32, he said, some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not where they were come together. In other words, it's like this right here, is that the Bible said that whenever people are in confusion, they don't know if they're in or out or up or down, which way they're going, because they're confused and they don't know exactly what God would have them to do. Now, I want to tell you what God wants to do is get rid of the confusion that's in your mind, because he is not the author of confusion, but of peace to those that believe God and believe the Bible. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that it's good that to be saved and to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and about verse number 16 is the passage there. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God as proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, if you want the sound message and the solid message, then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to depend upon the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God that leads and guides and directs you into all the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible said in verse number 5, the Bible said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's why when somebody comes along and tries to tell you that Mary is a mediatrix, they're lying. The Bible said there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's something, isn't it? I say all that so that you'll be able to realize and know that when we begin to look into the Bible, we recognize and know that He is God, and besides Him, there's none else. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you're at the wrong mediator, you're not going to be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But if you're at the right mediator, you'll be able to get washed by the blood and born into the family of God. All right, verse number 9 of chapter 2, 1 Timothy. He says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. And there's two or three things that are in that. Women ought not to be revealing their nakedness. They ought not to be staggering around drunk. They ought not to be boot scooting and so forth and on. They ought to adorn the doctrine of God. Ladies, here's what God says while we're turning to over there in Titus in chapter 2. What God is saying, that you with your life ought to adorn the doctrine of the Lord, and it ought to make people want to look to Christ and come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar. In the book of Titus, in chapter 2, it's about verse 10. In Titus, in chapter 2, in verse number 10, he says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. All right, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 10. In that passage there, he says, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. You know what the adorn is? That's the same thing about a woman dressing right, looking right, and talking right. Now, to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, that means we ought to preach in such a manner that it draws men to Christ by the adorning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, it's good to be saved and to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Now, in closing, I want to say that we're part of the same body. We're in the same fellowship. We're in the same family. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. If you're saved, so are you. We've got the same Spirit that put us in. We're operating by the same rule, the Word of the Lord. And let me say to you, we're not coming up with a different Bible, a different set of rules. We're coming up with what God said in this Bible, in this Word of the Lord. I want to tell you something. It's by the same word that lives and abides forever, the Bible said. It's by the fact that you and I know that it's sweeter than honey to the honeycomb and to my taste. And by the way, let me tell you, it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and make no mistake about that. You know, God's got something money can't buy. Somebody rightly said one time many moons ago, if God wanted to sell anything, we're too poor to buy it. You see what I'm talking about? He has nothing that He's for sale, but you can be saved and go to heaven by the grace of God. All right, in closing, I want to say to you that God has given us the same promise that He gave those apostles and prophets and men of God and women of God in days of old. And I want to tell you something right now. In Ephesians 4, when we read, He's the Father of all. He's above all. He's through all, and He's in you all, if so be you're a child of God. He really makes the difference. You know, when I got saved, I spent 24 years without the Lord, and I was religious but lost, but I didn't know the Lord from a bat. If somebody were to ask me, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Back then, I would have said yes, but I didn't really know. I didn't really know. But at the age of 24, God began to knock on my heart's door, and he began to draw me by his Spirit and by the preaching of the word of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Like John the Baptist got through baptizing Jesus into Jordan just to manifest who he was to Israel, the next day he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I knew exactly who that was, and I knew exactly who I was. And I'm glad that God granted me grace and gave me repentance and gave me faith to be able to believe in him. What about you this morning? Where do you stand with God? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our musicians are coming. Our song director's coming. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, "Preacher, I've been crossways and looking both ways for yesterday. And I don't know exactly what I need, but I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God." And as we get ready to sing the invitation song, I pray that you'll let God, as he's knocking on your heart, have his will and way in your life. Father, bless, I pray now, the remainder of this service. And Lord, I pray you'd bless us singing. And Lord, if there's one lost without God, may they come. There may be somebody say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism since the day I got saved. I'm going to this morning." Whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Number 157.
While we sing 100.